Just a couple.
Depends on who wins.
Yeah.
Couple if the Bolts win. Couple dozen. The Islanders win.
Yeah. That's you guys. Your team wins. You stay in the pocket. Two or three, maybe four. They lose. Yeah. You know, this
floodgates.
Then there's Ty. Then there's the Flames fans. They're fucking all year long. You know, all year long. just nightly. Whatever team wins or loses, you got a couple in the bag. You know you do. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Hoser's Panel. I'm one of your hosts, T. Croaks, Tyler Croakman. We're on episode 26 right now, and it is another playoff edition of Hoser's Panel. I'm here with Taylor Finlay and Mike Potter. How you doing, fellas?
Doing great, Ty. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. I cannot complain. Another week, it's so full of stuff that it's really hard to keep track. But yeah, this week I've just been trying to remember everything that's been going on. You know? Busy. How are you? How are you doing, Tay?
Doing fantastic, Ty. Thanks for asking. Another big week of playoff hockey. We've seen some ups and downs, I think, throughout the Hoser's Panel this week.
Yeah.
But first off, I think we got a little something to announce first, eh, Mike?
Yeah, so big milestone for the podcast. We reached 1,000 views or 1,000 plays or listens, whatever you want to call it. So we wanted to say a big thank you to everybody who's listened. If it's just one episode or all the episodes, we wanted to give a little bit back. So if you head over to our Instagram page, we are giving away maybe one, maybe two NHL gift cards, depending on how the playoff goes. So we'll have all the rules and everything like that over on our Instagram page at Hoser's Panel. But yeah, free giveaway to enter for a NHL shop gift card. And yeah, just want to say thank you to everybody and doing a little giveaway to give back.
Oh yeah, get you some nice Kraken hat or something like that. There you go.
As long as it's not Vegas stuff. Yeah, anything's up to be eligible to be bought.
It's pretty awesome, man. Sitting down and talking to you guys every week is a privilege, and it just makes it so much more exciting, so much more fun when we got people tuning in every week and able to kind of listen along with us. I know so many people that I know personally will say like love the podcast, listen to it all the time. So it's just so fun. And yeah, this is our way of saying thank you and you know, getting our name out there a little bit more. So yeah.
Yeah, it's super cool. I think we're building something, and just as the first milestone gets crossed, you want to just give back a little bit.
Yeah, most of my feedback has come from, like, word of mouth, like, face-to-face, but I've been pretty surprised at how many people have told me that they listen often, so, yeah, it's awesome, and definitely excited to get back and keep growing this, because it's fun.
All right, should we jump right into the playoffs?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so round two finished off. I think last Monday we were right in the middle of basically every series, but we can, going to give the final results for like our picks. So after two rounds, Tay nailed the Islanders and Tampa this past series, so he's now 7-5 overall. Ty, a little bit of a worser one. He only got Tampa right this week.
Hell yeah.
So he's 4-8 overall.
Good for me. Good for my standards. Go ahead.
And I got Tampa, Vegas, and the Habs all right, so I'm 8-4.
Nice.
Man, my stat of teams coming off a sweep going against teams who played seven games still stands tall.
Yeah, totally.
Undefeated.
Winnipeg just kind of fucking shut down to Montreal there, and yeah. Did anybody nail the like correct amount of games?
Doesn't look like it. Oh, you had Isles and six was the only correct one.
Nice. Yeah. Fuck yeah, I'll take that.
But yeah, it's crazy.
I fucking hate the Islanders right now. Anyways,
we'll
get into that.
The Jets, obviously they swept the Oilers and then got swept by the Montreal, but they never won a single game in expected goals for percentage. They were outplayed every single game they played this postseason, which is wild to think that they swept Edmonton with Edmonton outplaying them all four games.
Yeah, I think that just... It just shows you how like lopsided the goaltending was, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
In that series, at least. I don't know. Like, obviously, Hellebuck and Price are a little bit more on the same level. But Hellebuck, again, didn't play very well against Montreal. And Winnipeg kind of just shut down in that second series. And I think not having Scheifele, for sure, was a big buzzkill. And, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think...
Sorry. I don't know if I was talking to you guys or if it was on the pod last week. But I was saying, like, when Scheifele was out, like, that's the series. Like, might even be, like, four games straight. Like, wouldn't be surprised at all.
It was last week, yeah.
Yeah, right? Because just, I don't know. It's a huge player. The other team looks like they're on top right now. Their goalie's playing out of their mind. Like, if any goalie's going to be able to stand up to Price and how he's playing, or, yeah, Hellebuck and how he's playing always, it'd be Price right now. So... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see Price tonight against Vegas and game one. Obviously, like, there's been talk around the league all year, like, the North Division's not as good as the rest of the league, and it's different hockey, whatever. So I'm super curious to see how this first game of Vegas-Montreal goes. If Carey Price stands on his head and can steal yet another game in another series against a much better team. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's a much better team with Winnipeg, but Vegas is definitely a much better team than Montreal right now. So it'll be really, really interesting to see how big of a part Price plays in that.
Yeah, that's like the... Because the round two was kind of like the matchups, right? Like the big rivalries, the things we kind of look forward to from the beginning of the season. As soon as the division realignments came out, we kind of looked to see what kind of round two matchups we're getting. Really, like, yeah. The only thing about this round three is kind of like what teams are going to look like now that they're actually playing somebody else, right? Like,
totally.
How do these teams actually line up other than just points? Because standings don't really matter from division because obviously they're not playing intra-division, so... it's going to be super curious. I'm super excited. I have no idea how it's going to go. I think Vegas will probably come out, but I mean, that maybe Montreal is just great. Who knows, right?
Yeah, it's so true. So tough to predict.
I don't know, dude. I thought Fleury didn't look very good.
I didn't think so either.
Well, yeah. I just want to think if Fleury meets like Carey Price like he's playing right now, I find it hard to imagine that he comes out on top, like, easily. Or I know he's up with Vegas and everything, but also, are they getting fans? How many fans are you getting for this?
Vegas has the full barn. Montreal last had 2,500. I'm not too sure. I don't remember seeing anything change.
It's going to be like that, just, like, pathetic, because that might play a factor, too, I'd imagine.
Yeah, smell you later, Vegas moves on to the Cup Final, if that's the case.
If that's the case, because I mean, it's not going to be a home barn. Like, it's going to be quiet in there always, and when it's quiet in there, it's going to be like quiet. It's going to be pathetic. Like,
right now it is set at 2,500. It looks like the Quebec Premier is trying to get it to be more, but as of right now, still 2,500.
Yeesh.
I guess we can jump straight into the end of Colorado Vegas. So when we last talked on the podcast, it was 2-2. Vegas won their two at home, and then they stole game five in Colorado, and then they also won game six at home. Just, I think Colorado looked better in games five and six, definitely compared to what they did in games three and four.
Yeah,
but I mean, Vegas is a lot of people are saying that like Colorado choked and all this kind of stuff. It's like they tied in points, like they were the two best teams in the league this year.
Yeah,
and I mean, Vegas is a good team. Like, there's no denying it. And I think it's just Vegas got a bit more puck luck, and I mean, you don't need a lot to win this kind of series, right? Like, it's so close that even the smallest little bounces and a little bit of help can go such a long way. You just got to win one extra game.
Yeah. It definitely has a series of momentum too, and I mean, the 8,000 plus fans difference is a big difference. Like, it definitely helps.
Can be, for sure, yeah.
It definitely helps, especially with these two teams. The barns definitely get rocking, and, like, and that's, like, the team always builds off that. Like, these two teams are kind of notorious for that. So it's just a little different when when you know that one's just not at full, like one's not full, one's not even close to full.
Yeah, I couldn't believe, like, with the Avs, like, they only had 10,500, but there was multiple times in game five where the refs were blowing the whistle and nobody heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. But, like, what was that goal in the Vegas game where, I think it was game three or something, like, the first goal that they got, like...
Yeah, like, went off the bar and they thought it was in, and then...
The whole place is going nuts. Yeah. Everyone's just, like, looking around, like completely stopped playing, half the players. And then they kind of start again, and it's just, like, it's in, like, some guy comes across the front with it, and, like, and just shelves it. It's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
And you just got to think, like... And it's Vegas, like, you know, it's just obviously going to be crazy over there. It's going to be loud. It's going to be wild every night, especially for the playoffs. So, I don't know. It would be in Colorado, too. I was just like, it's such a bummer because I just think that McKinnon and all those boys, like, they play a speed game. They play fast, just like Vegas does. And they play hard, just like Vegas does. And that huge hit that someone from Vegas said, who was it?
On McKinnon? Massive.
No, sent a bucket flying.
Oh, like, Nichushkin. It was, yeah. Oh, shit, who was that? I can't remember now.
I have it somewhere in my stuff. I'll find it when I stop blabbing, but, it started with an N, I'm almost sure. Nichushkin,
No, it was on Nichushkin, but...
Oh, fuck. Anyway, that hit was huge. It was at a big point in the game.
Was it McNabb?
Might have been McNabb.
And it just made me think, like, man, that's a total adrenaline hit.
It was that hit, yeah.
That hit was huge. That hit was so clean, you couldn't do shit about it. And the barn was so loud, and the, before and after the hit, and like, and they just snowball. They just, like, roll with it, and the more people, the easier it is. And I don't know, that just kind of hurt because I was like, fuck. And weren't they going to full capacity in like a week? Like, yeah, if they made it to the next round.
If they made it to the third round, it would have been full barn.
Yeah, brutal, man. So, yeah, that sucks. So that's kind of doesn't even make me feel good for Canada, because if they had to wait, if it's not an immediate switch, like, I don't know. It's something you kind of need. It, like, definitely helps, especially when you're going to, like, the loudest place in the NHL compared to especially Montreal now, dude. That's gonna be brutal. The North Division doesn't even know what it's like to play in front of a crowd yet.
They don't even know what it's like to play in front of a defense.
No, for sure, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think the crowd would be huge. Like, especially in Vegas, Montreal has to come out with a win in game one or two.
Yeah.
Hopefully Vegas feels lost in an empty barn, basically. It's like their hope for games three and four.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know how else to put it in Montreal's favor. Like, 2,500 fans is going to... Vegas will be able to fall asleep to that. Like, there's no chance they're going to be that loud, right?
No. Do you think, going back to the Colorado-Vegas series, do you think Colorado blew their load too early with the big win in game one? Like, do you think that was a problem? Do you think they got, like, super confident and, like... I mean, obviously they came out and they won game two, but it was a little bit closer, no?
I don't think so. I think Vegas just had, like, an extra day of prep to, like, look at how to shut down Colorado. Because, like, that's the number one thing with Colorado. They were basically game planning for Vegas for 2 weeks, and then Minnesota came back a little bit, and they're like, oh, maybe we should, like, focus on Minnesota a little bit. And then they're like, okay, never mind. Chuck that to the garbage. But I don't think Vegas had a lot of time to figure out Colorado's systems and everything.
So, like, I think before game one.
Before game one, yeah.
Right. Yeah, they were too focused on Minnesota. Yeah. That makes sense.
I think, like, especially in game six, the big decider was a bit on goaltending. Like,
yeah.
The Avs, in games five and six, the Avs played pretty well. Like, there wasn't really much to complain about other than, like, a couple defensive zone turnovers. But anytime they did that, it was in the back of their net.
Yeah.
Like, you just want Grubauer to make, like, one of those saves, two of those saves. Like the times that you really need to rely on a goalie to make a save, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I think...
Okay, so with that, sorry, do you think that they move on from Grubauer? Do you think they go after, like, a UFA goaltender or make a trade? Like, what are you thinking?
I don't know. Like, it'll be... I think it'd be based off of Grubauer's market number.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not crazy, then I think they wouldn't mind him having back. Like, he didn't really... There wasn't too many blemishes on his like, report other than being a little bit injured. That was, like, the one scare, but that didn't really happen for this playoff. So I mean, that's not too bad. I think if like an Edmonton comes out and gives him like a Markstrom contract, like a 6x6 or a
four years,
$7 million, I think Colorado's fine with letting him walk for that.
Yeah.
So I think it's all on his value and going into free agency.
Yeah, that could very well happen too. So
yeah, 100%. So I think Sakic's probably got a number he wants him back at, and if Grubauer's thinking he can get more, then I don't think he brings him back. But
yeah,
it'd be super interesting. I'm curious about it.
Man, that Kadri suspension became so detrimental in this series too, didn't it?
Yeah, one more game that would have been huge.
Yeah, right. And man, it was so long ago. It's crazy that, and like all these other things are happening, and no one else got anything close to that.
No.
Like, no, but nothing close. Like, half. Like, I don't know. Weird.
And then, like, it took almost 8 games for them to decide, like, they're going to confirm 8 games. You know?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It was like, okay, you got 8 games. And then he sat out for, like, 3, and then he appealed. And then it took, like, 2 more games to get the appeal back. And then, like, okay, yeah, it's actually going to be 8. And then it took 1 more game. They're going to send it to a different guy. And then, like, right before the 7th game, they're like, yeah, it's going to stay 8. It's like, well, I mean, no kidding. Like, what else are you going to do? Say it's 4?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many times, like, you had said during this series, like, how pivotal he would have been in that series, too. Like, the strong second-line center that Colorado needed was, like, a big deciding factor. I think, obviously Vegas has depth, right? Like, their first 2-3 lines are fucking unreal. And yeah, Colorado's good, and their top line is unreal. Their second line even is pretty good, especially when everybody's playing. But just to be able to keep up with the 3 full lines that Vegas has, and like the fucking stacked blue line, they definitely could have used Kadri for sure.
Yeah, especially like JT Compher is a solid player, but he should not be a second line center when you have to go compete against Vegas. Like, he's a fine third line center, third line winger.
Yeah.
Even for like a couple games, a second line winger, but the second line center position is so big. It was destined to fail, essentially. Like, Tyson Jost stepped up, played fairly well, but once again, he's a high 3C, very low second center kind of area.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of getting Kadri's, for those big deep matchups, and unfortunately he didn't play a single game.
I was gonna say one thing about Vegas. We've seen them always do well with the crowd, with their energy, with their 4 lines of depth, or fairly good depth at least. Mm-hmm. And pardon me, we've seen these things be the reason that they do so well, especially in the playoffs. And now I feel like they've traded for these players that were good players, or on the verge of stars, or were stars, and everyone's kind of taken their role and ran with it. And if I think it was Game 5, that overtime goal by Stoner.
Yep.
I mean, come on. If that he gets it, takes off to break away, and like I was at. I was at a Browns location for that. Quick story. I was there with my girlfriend and two of our friends, and I was just screaming. The whole place, we finally have indoor dining, so the place is rocking a lot better now. And man, it was like, it was me going for Colorado, and I wanted them to win so bad. I wanted them in Tampa in the finals so bad. I was just screaming and screaming. The game was so back and forth. It was such a good one. The rest of the place was screaming for Vegas, and it was fun, but it was playoff atmosphere in itself. But when he got that breakaway, and it was just, I was like, no, 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 no. Like, sure enough, like, son of a bitch, like, shelves it. Perfect shot by Stoner. Completely energized, and it's something I don't think the team's had, is when we're getting that. I'm butchering this. They never had the stars that just step up and score goals when they need them. They never had the stars that just are there and in an instant, right away in overtime, a second he gets an opportunity, he beats everyone down on the breakaway. And right before they get a stick on it, it's a perfect shot shelf. Like, and then that turned the whole series. That's how they stole one in Colorado. And And that's how it got real. And then even the next game, like, Colorado was right with them for a long time. And man, I'm telling you, I didn't think the goals that were going in on Fleury, him reaching across with his glove instead of using his blocker to get that first.
Oh, yeah. The sock.
What
yeah.
the fuck? And, yeah, like, that's so bad. That's not the first time that I've been like, he looks, like, unpolished, maybe is the word I want to use, but, like, not sharp. Like,
yeah, he looks constantly sloppy, but somehow makes the saves 99% of the time.
And even them starting Leonard, we're all like, what the hell is that? Well, I'm like, man, maybe there's something to it, because I don't know. Maybe he does need the rest or something, because he looked really shitty at times. And when that goal went in, I was like, fuck, one more like that, and like, tonight, you can kiss tonight goodbye. But and he's like, he shows emotion, too, so he kind of shows little flusters and stuff, and I can never really tell how the mentality is. I know he's a really loose player, but I don't know. Like he didn't really look right to me, so yeah. I was really kind of amazed that they could pull it out. At least so easily, or at least like toward the end, because I was like, man, he's gonna choke, because we've seen it. He has been. He's very shaky, and which is not really how we've seen playoff Fleury be. Not consistently like that. So, I don't know, something doesn't really seem right. And I wonder if they'll play Leonard more moving forward, because I get worried. But the offense is so on point when they need to be that, I don't know, I just, like, they stole it.
I think Ty, you're onto something there with Fleury and how he was doing. I think if Leonard comes into game one against Colorado and steals the show, plays unreal, there's no way they go back to Fleury. And we're not even sitting here talking about this right now. But because Leonard did so poorly, like, they had to put Fleury back in. Like, there was kind of like, okay, either way, whether Leonard does well or Leonard does unreal, like, we have our answer for next game. It'll be super interesting to see the game tonight and how he does. I think Montreal, like, I was just looking at the projected lineups for tonight, and obviously Fleury's projected to go, and Montreal's deep, man. Like, they're all four lines are, I mean, they're not, they have no superstars, like you were saying. There's nobody on the team that is going to go out there and wow you every shift, but they are four deep, hardworking lines that can shut down the top guys. And it'll be really interesting to see how Fleury does against a team that can come in waves like that, every line, right? Like, Stone and the Stone line, the Marchessault line, and the Alex Tuch line, all three of them can shut down their guys. But then Revo's playing against Eric Staal and Corey Perry, who have arguably been the best line for Montreal in the playoffs so far. And if Fleury looks shaky, man, like, those are the guys that are going to get the goals for Montreal. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting. Really interesting to see. I would not be surprised at all if Fleury had a shaky start, if we saw Leonard in the series.
Pardon me. A lot of good points there. Also, they're really good at getting these Weasley goals in tight games, where Carey Price is always keeping them in it. And then, like, we saw it a couple of times against Toronto. They just man, remember that shorthanded one, that crazy one man effort that he just chopped in, like, top corner. It was like, whoa, and it comes from any and all lineups. So I just think if that can happen, like, they could catch Vegas. You just gotta steal one in Vegas, and it's a different game. I don't know how it'll be in Montreal. Like, it's actually fucking weird to think, but
yeah, it's crazy. I think this is probably my most anticipated series to watch right now, which I would have never expected. But I think it's way more exciting than the Tampa New York series.
It's a chess match. It's gonna be really interesting, and I think at any moment in the game, one of these teams, just like the last series Vegas was in, one either team can just snowball instantly.
Yeah,
kind of like we've seen it. They can just take off in a period and get quite a few goals, and until then, it's kind of like, you know, don't let them do that, because you know it can happen fast, and it does. So we'll see. I also wonder how the young guys from Montreal will do in front of this big crowd. I bet you they'll love it. Like, I wonder what their energy will be like. Caulfield and Kokaniemi. Fucking
nailed it.
Even Suzuki, yeah. I think it'll be cool to see Pacioretty, Suzuki go up against each other too after being traded for each other. Pacioretty, obviously the former captain of Montreal. Suzuki was a high draft pick their first year. So, yeah, it'll be really cool. Obviously, Pacioretty means a lot more to Montreal than Suzuki did to Vegas. But, yeah, it'll be sweet to see him. Even if there's only, like, 3,000 fans in Montreal, it'll be sweet to see him back there and see what they say and do yeah. for him.
Fleury versus Quebec as well.
Yeah, true. True.
Last thing for to close out Vegas, Colorado. We had Nate MacKinnon in his press conference at the end of the game.
Oh,
there was a couple of good sound bites. First one I won't play for you, but he was basically asked, like, you know, you guys are a good team. Like, you're looking towards next year. Like, you think you guys got it and stuff like that. And he's like, you know, every year I feel like we're just talking about next year, what's coming in the future. Like, he's going into his ninth year and he hasn't won shit is basically how he finished it. Yeah. Which I think is just a guy who wants to win.
Totally.
Is really all it is. And then the second one, we got the clip for you here, but just one of the worst interview questions, even if you can say it was a question. I don't know. I'm not too sure, but we'll play it for you right here.
Nate, you know, I know you're a gamer and all this, and, you know, I'm just thinking maybe out loud as far as in your shoes right now. It's like, all right, we've done all the thinking we can do. We've done all the game planning we can do. Maybe, you know, just fuck it. We'll just go in next year and just not think it anymore and just win this thing when we don't think so much. Is that, am I on the right path at all with this? Like, maybe you just guys think a little too much?
No.
Last one here for Nathan. Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
Nate, you know.
What the fuck, man? Like, let's just go in there and not think. Like let's just not think and win the game. Like, yeah, okay, that's what we've been trying to do every fucking year, you dumbass.
The best part that wasn't part of that soundbite, like, the next guy's, like, asking his question, and MacKinnon's still, like, shaking his head, and he just goes out, like, what? Like,
yeah, like, he's trying to figure out... It was a Denver Post guy, was he?
No, he used to be Denver Post, got fired. Then he worked for a different like beat company. Now he like works for it's a company called Colorado Hockey Now.
Oh, okay. Well, but yeah. He dropped something funky before that conference because that conference was. I was excited right away to see it. Like, as soon as I was kind of looking up stuff about it because I knew somebody. I didn't know who they talked to or how quick or how long. They only had him for about just under 3.5 minutes.
About that, yeah.
But, you know, MacKinnon, nothing but classy. This guy is, you can just see, like, one of the best leaders in the game. And he just, every answer is great. No, never really a bad answer. You know, he shoot a couple questions aside. He only took like 4 or 5, maybe 6. But and then that one kind of ruined all their momentum in the thing. But he was answering everything like great for a guy. You know, it hurts because you can see the pain in his face, and all the media starts asking questions about what's wrong and what they got to do right, and you know, all these things that have got to be tough to hear again and again and again, especially when your team's so good. And he answers them so well, said so many things that I even thought myself. And I was astounded at how composed he was right up until that question. And that question, when that guy, I was kind of like, where's he going? Then when he dropped that F-bomb, I was like, whoa, this guy's fucked up, I think. And then... what the hell is that? Oh, there we go. And then what was I saying? Yeah, so what was that me? Was that my side?
No idea.
I thought I was in a Jaws movie or something.
You just fucking like mind mush and just stop talking.
Did you guys hear that? It's like
yeah.
Was that on my end? That's because I was just like, what the fuck? I thought it was my phone on my desk or something.
Oh, man. It was my phone on my desk. I got
okay.
I didn't hear it at all.
That's okay. It's hard to do with the headphones on. No fucking worries. I thought I was going to get stabbed or something. I was like, is someone behind me? What's going on? I thought it was like killer music. Anyway, that was great. And then when this guy finished the question, I was just... I felt bad for MacKinnon the whole time, and I couldn't believe how he's handling it the whole time. The maturity of this kid blows my mind. And then And when this guy finishes, I'm wide eyed like he's fucked up, and then I'm wider eyed like, what the fuck is McKinnon gonna do? I was like, he's gonna snap. I was like, he's gonna snap. Like, that is, who let this guy in here? Like, that's such a brutal question. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like,
throw anyone off.
So many guys, or like a lot of people in the media, are like criticizing of hockey players because they just answer things with, you know, just got to get pucks in deep, you know, play as a team, all those stereotypical, like, normal responses.
But like, for the boys.
Yeah, think of it from, like, the player side, right? Like, he just gets eliminated from the playoffs, and he just keeps getting asked, like, the dumbest questions. Like, it's, like, tipped off by this one, but, like, you know, there's maybe one out of every seven-ish journalist questions that are a question that's, like, actually going to develop a good response, you know? It, like, McKinnon's getting asked, like, oh, the defense wasn't that great. Like, how do you go into next year with that? It's like, I don't think he really wants to answer that question. Like, are you serious? Like, he's 4 minutes off of getting eliminated from the postseason. Like, come on.
And he's the assistant captain, probably, like, best player on the team, not the coach or the GM.
Right,
he needs
exactly.
to actually deal with what the defense was like and how you address that in the offseason. Like, yeah, I think it's honestly, I appreciate
media.
Well, not the media, but like the balls that the players have, especially a big loss like that, to go out and actually talk to the media. I know, I think it's in their contract with the CBA or something. Yeah, to actually go out there and take some questions, but a lot of these guys could go out there and just be like, fuck you, I don't want to answer anything. But when they go out there and they actually try and answer these questions, especially when they're fucking dumb, it's good on them. And it's really shitty that they can't come to the table with a little bit of a better question or a little bit more, like, empathy towards the player, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as a fan and as a teammate or someone in the organization, just everything Nathan McKinnon said, obviously the media is always going to like, you know, try to get answers, always going to spin, especially if you have, like, if you're failing all the time, you know, hashtag Maple Leafs, stuff like that. they're going to always, like, hit the sore spots and always try to get you, you know, talking about that, because that's what people are going to talk about and think about and want to know about. And I thought every answer he was giving, I thought he was on fire, like, for how his head must have been, headspace was, he was answering everything. Like, he shut down everything the media was saying about his team. And even one of his answers was about, you really should listen to it if you care, like, or at all. Like, or if you want to see, it was like Sidney Crosby. Crosby used to do this shit all the time, but, like, I thought he was a lot, he was not as, like, not as good as this, not as mature, not as... He, like, that question he would have been way worse with, for example. But, well, yeah, he said, and they were saying something about how, oh, you know what, well, you know, they were basically making it about grit, and it was the second thing that they tried to make it about. And he said, well, no, like, we got a lot of wearers in our dressing room, along the lines of, it's not that either. And then another one, he said it was that, he mentioned their analytics and how...
He was getting questioned on how the defense kind of let them down, or like the person asking the question was kind of saying that the defense wasn't there and that they were kind of not holding their own, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And McKinnon basically just dove in like, yeah, we were like the best defensive team in many categories.
There it is.
So
yeah, so that's not it either. Like, we, you know, our people know.
Yeah.
I also saw a stat that was like many, many teams have a very, very small analytics department, like maybe two people, and I think the Avs are like one of the ones with like with a bigger group.
Yeah,
and
they do.
And
yeah.
And like a much bigger group, and it really shows. It really shows, and like even the way McKinnon was speaking, like I could tell he fucking knows that he knows all these numbers, and that's when I was really like, whoa, dude, like, you know. This guy's frustrated. He knows everything. He knows way more than all these reporters are saying. Like, he knows about his group inside and out. And, like, even on a statistical standpoint, he probably knows inside and out. So, like, this guy's obsessed. And it's good to see because he's so composed. And he'll be back.
Yep. All right. Should we jump over to the regular East side?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, Tampa... offed the Hurricanes in five, right?
Five games, awesome. Yeah. I think it was like, they're all like pretty close games. I think it was just Tampa's skill was just a little bit more than the Hurricanes, and they just got that little bit more talent every game. Like, I don't think there was really any blowouts from what I remember, but I think it was just Tampa's just a little bit more talented, and I think they just got that every game. Plus, Vasilevskiy's a beast.
Yeah, I think that I was going to say ultimately it came down to that, obviously, going back and forth between Mrazek and Nedeljkovic showed that Carolina had a little bit of volatility with their goaltending. And, I mean, Vasilevskiy looked shaky this year in the playoffs, but still, as the coach, Coop will go to him every single night, no questions asked, so.
Three straight series now. Vasilevskiy has clinched the series with a shutout.
Yep, three.
That's nuts.
Yeah, dude, it's insane. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. He's a god.
He's just like he might let in a fluke one, but he's so solid like all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Playoff point too. So good.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit, he's clutch. He scores some nice goals. He's just like such a good skater.
They have so many weapons, right? Like we talked about it last week, but it's just like the plethora of guys they can go to, and just like it's no surprise that any of these guys, like the 18 guys, any of them can score like a game winner, and it'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Fair enough.
Yeah,
it was that guy's turn. That guy's turn to step up.
Yeah, even their like second or third line guys, you're like, oh, like it was the second or third line that chipped in, but like they could easily move up a line or two on any other team, so
100%.
Even on this team, like they, I would say almost every forward they have after the first line could play first line, which is scary.
Yeah, they have top nine forwards, and they just play in the top line, whichever way Coop wants to play it. It's just
exactly.
And they're healthy, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was
saw that coming, did you? Fucking healthy fucking Tampa Bay squad, look out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, we obviously the series against the Canes was good and we finished it off early, but game one of the New York Islanders series was not so hot. Didn't come off to a hot start there. They just kind of were shut down by a very strong, like we've talked about a million times, defensive New York Islanders team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we could probably slide over to that series, hey, like the Islanders Bruins. It was basically tight the entire way. Like when we last recorded, it was 2-2, and I was just like, I don't know who's going to win this, but I'm pretty sure it's going to go 7. And obviously the Islanders took care of it in 6 with taking home game 6 in their own barn, which is a cool atmosphere to see because they're always just buzzing. But totally. I mean, yeah, I think it was just like the defense and the structure of the Islanders just outplayed the Bruins, and then they 6-2 in game 6 to clinch it with I think at least one empty net. I'm pretty sure two empty netters, so not like a blowout as the score kind of says, but unfortunate for the Bruins. And Taylor Hall, we'll see if he re-signs there, but where he goes. But credit to the Islanders, like they always get discounted when they go into the playoffs, and they always continue to show out and go farther than everybody expects.
Yeah, and credit to the Islanders, but I would say credit to their top D pairing, man. Ryan Pulock and Adam Pellick are just like on a whole nother level defensively. When these playoffs started, they completely shut down the top line for Boston, handled Pittsburgh and Crosby, Malkin when he was playing. So shout out to them, credit to them, because they have just looked so good.
Yeah, and I mean, they continue that on to the game one against Tampa as well. Both had great games, which, I mean, you're going to need if you're limiting Tampa to one goal, which is a power play goal in the last 50 seconds. Like, that's what you need to beat them, and you just get a couple. And, I mean, Islanders 2-1 ways are just exactly what their MO is.
Totally. I don't know. We haven't really touched on it, but, like, going into the series, Tampa obviously had the best power play, and New York had a very mediocre penalty kill. Like they were close to the bottom. However, They've been in the box, like, I think at least or maybe second least in the playoffs on average per game so far. And that's how you're going to win, man. Like, this Tampa team has shown that they are going to capitalize on any opportunity you give them on the power play. Literally, Tampa had two power plays last game, or I guess game one. One was started with like 30 seconds left in the second period, so it carried over. And they just couldn't get anything going there. And then the second one was like a minute left of the game, and they scored. So, yeah, staying out of the box is going to be, I think, pivotal for the Islanders moving forward if they want to win this series. And I think Tampa's just got to learn how to play 5-on-5 because it seems like that's probably what they're going to end up doing most of this series.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback off that stat, they are second out of all 16 playoff teams in time shorthanded per games played. Yeah. Minnesota was at 2.14 and the Islanders at 2.15.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the main reasons why I killed Carolina as well, because they're number one at 3.82 times shorthanded per game.
Totally. And you saw it in the Carolina game. So, like, anytime Carolina take a penalty, Tampa Bay would go on the power play, they'd score easy. Like, it wasn't a question of if they would score, it was when, how soon into the power play. So, that power play is just clicking, and it's so fun to watch as a Tampa Bay fan. And I think if New York's going to win this series, like, they have to shut it down, because there's no way
100%.
No way you're going to be able to beat that team while giving them a couple opportunities.
Yeah, their structure is so effective when the game just keeps rolling and they can play 5-on-5. You start chucking in PKs and all that stuff, then your lines get a little bit jumbled. You're not flowing as well as you usually want to be, and obviously your 5-on-5 structure doesn't work when you only have four guys out there. So it's they definitely need to keep it 5-on-5 and stay out of the box, which they are very good at. So I think this is a great series. I think it's almost like what we saw or what we expected out of Boston Islanders, like this offensive power against this defensive power.
Yeah,
but I think it's like kind of actual, like, what we should be seeing. You know, like, that was kind of what it was pictured as for Boston Islanders, but this is really what the Tampa is more of the dynamic offense that we're talking about.
Boston's definitely just not there yet. Or, like, not for the whole, they're not at that level. And their window is closing. I mean, one thing I was going to say, like, you need a lot of things to go all the way. To win it all, obviously. You need depth. You need your superstars to score. You need them to, your, like, role players to play their roles and you know, and stay out of the sassy room, whatever the fuck you want to call it, wherever Peros hangs out. Like, Marchand was doing lots of good stuff. Pastor did lots of good stuff, except for that dirty post he hit on the empty net. And yeah, I don't know, like, and Rask, what, didn't really look himself. They said he was hurt. He needs, what was it, hip surgery? They said right after they got eliminated.
Yeah, some,
and they're, I can't remember what it was now. They said he's out like 4 or 8 months or something like that. I might be off with how long.
Yeah, I think they said about the length of that. I think he said, because I remember him talking when he was in his post-season presser or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
He said that he only wants to be a Bruin and everything like that. And then they followed it up with basically saying that he's not coming back until January or February. So it'd be hard for a team to even sign him at that. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, but I guess if someone wanted to throw money in his face and be like, hey, man, as soon as you come back, we'll sign you. You know, I'll give you a nice little...
Like a Colorado kind of type would be interesting.
3 year, whatever. Yeah. 2 year, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a great offseason for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, a lot of good guys.
A lot of things up in the air, especially with, like, the cap that we always talk about and everything in Seattle. It's just another one of those... There's so many questions going into the offseason that it'll be interesting how they all get answered.
I think Barzal might be a huge factor, too. Like, he's like, you know what I mean? He could be an X factor.
He could be,
like,
yeah.
He was in the last series. He was able to come out and get some crazy goals. He was actually in game one. He came out and got the first goal of the series, put his team ahead away. And they held that right to the end. And I think you said before, and I don't know if I said this a second ago, I was thinking about, I meant to bring it up. Tampa Bay is good. They're in, I think, I don't know what series it was, but they're in a series, and you said that they just need to, they just need to instill a little bit of doubt in the other team shooters, or like, or confidence in theirs or something. And because you said, like, I can't remember how you put it, but you said as soon as they do that, yes. You lull them into your game, kind of like you see with Vegas. Once you do, you combine that with the crazy atmosphere, with the confidence at home. And then as soon as it starts going your way, they've perfected their game. And once they get on that power play, that's their secret weapon. And once they get that rolling, they just know what to do. Once they get ahead, it's like it's really hard to play behind. So
mm-hmm.
Once they get that first goal, it's absolutely massive. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I think I was talking about Toronto Montreal. I think when I said that.
Oh, was it?
Maybe I could be way off, but I know I did say about something.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
But I know it just kind of feels like that now. I feel like a couple of games we'd seen that when Tampa Bay can't turn it on, or like they're just passing sloppy, mm-hmm. and you're like they don't look right at all. It's very very rare, but like you know they're not quite in their rhythm in their groove that they usually are. And when they are, it's like it's lights out. When they're ahead. Especially by two, it's like it's brutal, and then they just snowball. Vegas, I find very similar. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say you get a little ripple in that mojo, mm-hmm. and it can start to tear just a little bit more and more. And then as the game kind of wears on, as the series kind of wears on, it's causing a fracture, right? And that's how you get a team fully off their game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's jump into round three predictions. The probably the first ever time it's called the Stanley Cup semifinals and not the conference finals.
Yeah, that's weird, man. I don't like it. What was I doing? I was watching something or listening to something, and it was, somebody said conference finals like six times, and I'm like, shoot, I don't mean conference finals, I mean semifinals. It's like, it's weird. Super weird.
It's very weird. But yeah, we can go first one, Bolts and Islanders. Also, we can talk about game one as well, or basically already did, but we made these predictions before game one, so there's no cheating, and with the way our picks are, you'll know there's no cheating.
Yeah, definitely not.
That's for sure.
Ty, you want to start us off, buddy?
Fuck yeah. Which one are we doing first?
Bolts Islanders.
Tampa.
I think I had Bolts in six.
You did.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a little bit of time to figure out. It's going to be a battle because I know that both teams can win and steal a game. But I just think the better overall team is Tampa, but anything can happen in the playoffs, of course. I just think that they're really ready this year. They're really healthy this year. So I'm saying Bolts in six.
Beauty. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with the Islanders and the Bolts, right? The Bolts are like, okay, they're the favorite. I'm going to continue to pick them because they're the fucking Lightning. Like, they're crazy. And then it's like, well, they're playing against the Islanders. Like, the Islanders aren't great, but they keep proving us wrong, right? Like, it's... Yeah. It's getting harder and harder to pick against the Islanders now.
Yeah.
That being said, I still took the Bolts in five. They played last year. Tampa's shown that they can beat them, so that kind of gave me the reassurance that Barry Trotz is human. You know, he's not crazy. I think Tampa's offense and Tampa's overall structure and demeanor and everything in the locker room and everything won't get down on themselves as easy if in the event that they lose game one, which they did. But I think they can kind of put that in the past, right, for game two, and they'll just come guns a blazing in game two, and they're probably going to win like 5-2 in game two, probably my prediction. Obviously the Islanders have won game one now, so I don't think five is too much in question, but I still like the Bolts to win this series.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Like I said Bolts in six as well. Like you said, they played last year. Tampa won. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Like the Islanders could easily win this year just because they lost last year. But I think like the biggest thing, man, is Tampa, man. They know how to go through adversity. Obviously, you look at last year that you look at not having their captain all playoffs, right? And still doing what they did. they've gone through it so much. They all have the experience. They all know what it takes to win. Like the roster is basically the exact same as it was last year when they won the cup. So these guys know what it takes to get there, and they know what it takes to bounce back in a game after a loss. And they lost game one, but they're no that's not anything new. They've lost the first game of a series before and still come back and won it. So I said Tampa in six. I think they can get it done.
Beauty. I think it's kind of crazy. Like the NHL, above a lot of other sports, especially like the big four sports, it's kind of talked about its parity and everything, and how, like, going into a new season, everybody has a chance to win. And then especially once the playoff hits, like, anybody's got the chance to win. It could be anybody. Like, an 8 seed could come out and win everything, shock everybody, but not shock everybody kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, looking back to last year, like, the final four teams, three of them are the exact same.
Yeah.
Like, Islanders, Tampa, obviously, because they played last year, and then Vegas is in it again. It's kind of crazy that there is a lot of parity, but when it comes to, like, the actual cup winner, it's usually not a huge surprise. Usually it's, like, one of those teams that you kind of designate. They're definitely a chance to win it, and it's always one of those teams. There's usually, like, I would say about five or six going into every year is usually, like, you can most likely pick the cup winner. So it definitely is not like a NBA where it's one or two teams. So there is a bit more parity, but it's just funny, like, when you start getting into the end of the playoffs, the parity that you see year over year is not as high.
Yeah, it's true. It's interesting because, like, if you, for example, were to not weed out the worst teams in the league and say every team made the playoffs, it would be a shit show. Like, you'd have no idea who would come out of anywhere, right? Even, like, last place in the league plays first place in the league, there's an opportunity for that horrible team to beat the best team in the league in a best of seven series, because anything could happen. Yeah.
And that's why you don't raise the playoff teams above 16. Like, that's like the number one reason right there.
No, exactly. That's so true. And consistently you have these, like, top five or six teams that are like top of the league, do really well in the playoffs, in the regular season, obviously make the playoffs every year. And they just turn it on to that extra level because they have that experience. And then there's the bottom, like, eight teams that are in and out of the playoffs every year, kind of cycle and really don't know what it's like to consistently play playoff hockey. And then kind of just shit the bed. And I don't know. It's so interesting. I think hockey, and the NHL specifically, is, like, one of the most equal sports in, like, all of big sports, where, you could have the worst team beat the best team on any given night. But when you give, like, a larger sample size, like seven games, and it's, like, a do or die, those best teams show that they're the best teams for a reason, and those guys show up. So
I had a quick question here. What would be the biggest upset out of the two series if the underdog were to come out on top?
I think it's Montreal.
Definitely.
Yeah, right? That's what I was thinking. I was like, man, if Montreal wins the cup this year, I will shit a brick.
Man, if it's a Montreal-New York Islanders final.
Yeah,
right? I'm not watching.
Yeah, right? I don't know. Who would have fucking thought? And then who's the fuck? Who's gonna win? Like, analyzing that is like
Islanders for sure.
I think it's almost like the LA Devils series of, what was that, 2014, 2015, somewhere around
2014,
there. 2014. I think that was just the most boring Stanley Cup probably in a while, and that would probably be this one as well.
Yeah.
But at least with the Islanders playing the Habs, I don't mind whoever wins. You know, I'm not like, oh, I fucking hate one of these teams. So that's like that's like the one plus side of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Cool. Did we do predictions for the Vegas Montreal series?
Not yet.
Oh, you want to get into that?
Fuck no.
Let's go right into it.
Freshies. I want to start this one.
I can go.
I'll start.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Are you sure?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Man, I think obviously Vegas is the much better team depth wise, offensively, even defensively. I don't know why I got a feeling Montreal pulls it out. I'm going to say Montreal in seven. I think just like the goaltending being the aspect. I think Price has looked really good. Fleury's looked shaky. I think Corey Perry's going to find a way to fucking bury this Vegas Golden Knights team.
See, I have like the same kind of, I have like two feelings kind of going back and forth. Like, you know, like the two angels on the shoulders, they're just doing a tug of war with my head right now. Like, I'm just like, okay, Vegas is the best team. Montreal played in Canada. Canadian division's not great. Like, why am I even thinking this team has a chance against this Vegas team? And then the other side, it's like, well, you never know. Like, Montreal, they're coming in hot and everything. I mean, especially on paper, it looks like this Vegas team should skate laps around this team.
Yeah.
I think the one difference between the Isles and the Habs is Barry Trotz is coaching the Islanders, where Dominic Ducharme, I think his name is coaching the Habs. And I don't have enough faith in him to be able to shut down the Stars of Vegas and the overwhelming attack that both Toronto and Winnipeg didn't have. Like, both those teams had good top sixes, but like, once those guys were not on the ice, it was kind of like, okay, we can start to dictate the play now. You're not getting that with Vegas. You're just getting four lines just swarming at you at all times. So I think I have to go with Vegas, but they beat the Avs, so I'm going Habs in four. No, I'm kidding. I'll take Vegas in. I want to say so. I'm gonna go Vegas in five.
Vegas in five.
Ty?
I want Montreal to surprise me, but I just can't see it.
Isn't that what you said for Montreal, Toronto?
I did, and I took the Leafs in seven.
Perfect. Yep. Montreal in five, everybody.
But yeah, I had the Habs win last series, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not like the Islanders.
Do you guys know when Jeff Petrie's coming back? Is he back?
I think so.
That is something I should have looked at first, probably.
Yeah.
Well, game one, just for context, game one starts in about an hour for us, so.
Yeah,
here we go. We have.
Batting down the hatches.
He's in the lineup.
Yeah?
Apparently he's got a modified glove on. Oh, yeah, because he fucking stuck his hand in the camera hole in the glass, which was gross.
No, really?
Yeah, he got it, like, caught in the little camera squares. Yeah, it was gross.
Ew. Oh. Okay, well, he comes back. Wait. That helps a lot, but if he's not 100%, I mean, that's the
playoffs. It says they were him, Evans, and Merrill were all skating with the extras ahead of game one, so I don't
think. Yeah, I see them all out. In. Of course, Druin, but he's out of.
Yeah, no. Doesn't look like it. Yeah, that's a big blow. But can I change my answer?
Well, see, my thing is, how long are they going to be out for? One.
Yeah.
Two, kind of like the Islanders, these guys have surprised us a bunch. Like, I never think they're going to be able to do what they do.
Yep.
To, you know what I mean? They don't think they're going to be that good. And everyone's pulling weight. And, the guy with the team on his back is obviously Carey Price. His numbers, like, throughout the playoffs right now are nuts. Then again, you know, a soft team missing Scheifele in Winnipeg, and Toronto kind of crumbled. But, and obviously Vegas won't. It's really hard to count. I can't count them out with the numbers that Carey Price is putting up.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's silly. Like, if Price can't do that against Vegas... Then
yeah, sure. It's an easy series.
But you know what? In his nice, quiet barn, where his Zen's fucking money right now, like, fuck, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's just lights out there. And who gets home ice? Obviously Vegas, right? Obviously. Yeah, they're the lowest seed.
Yeah, Vegas. Right? Vegas will have home ice for this and the Stanley Cup Finals if they make it.
Damn. Man, Montreal in seven sounds so good, but, like, obviously it's such a long shot. But I just totally think Price could steal it. And I think the longer it goes on, it'll be more in favor for Montreal, because I got to think that they're... I feel like they're in better shape. than Vegas. I feel like they, you know, they probably got to be a little beat up for the past two series. Long ones at that too, in Minnesota and Colorado. So, and I don't know. I don't think Fleury looks good. I really don't. So fuck it. No, I'm standing by it. Montreal in seven. That's nice. The one.
Beauty.
Because Fleury looks like shit. Go ahead.
Yeah. If they get to game seven, it could go either way.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's a crapshoot. Like, coin flip, you really have no idea.
Dude, I hope if it went to game seven and there was just, like, a shit ton of Montreal fans up there. You know how wicked that would be? I mean, they're Montreal really fans. Cool. But it'd be so cool seeing the big mix up there in Vegas. Also, let's take a second here and talk about Montreal fans. Holy shit. Did you guys see how bonkers they went?
Like, oh, yeah, in the streets. The
celebrations?
Yeah, in the streets, they were going nuts.
A little much. You kind of lost me. You lost me a little with that. Like, I'm jumping on the wagon, and then I'm jumping right off when I see that shit. They're, like, lighting off fireworks, and the streets are, like, packed, but, like, rowdy. Like, they're all fighting each other and shit, and they're all on the same fucking team. Like, it just looked like it was such a bad look.
I don't mind it because they were the four seed and probably three people in the world took them to win either series, right? Like, if that was, like, Toronto, let's not say Toronto, they can't win anything. But, like, if Tampa did that, you know, as, like, kind of the favorites going into every series, it would have been like, okay, like, the job's not done. But just for Montreal to get there, I think that's huge. Like, it's the same with the Islanders, right? Like, they both were never really picked and defied the odds, right? They're both number four seeds. So I think I don't mind it for both of them because now they're in the final four. Anything can really happen, right? They've got it going this far. The group is together, and we'll see where they can push it, how far they can go. But
it's just like it's a riot, though. Like it's so that to me is kind of just sad. Like you can do it a lot better than lighting fireworks off like 4 feet beside like, a massive crowd. Like you know, like it was over the top. 180, one drunk idiot puts that box upside down, and we got a fucking show, right? I don't know. I was just there was like cars being like they're trying to flip cars and shit.
Yeah,
like
it was very mob mentality.
Yeah, so I was like, you could sell it, but like, I mean, fuck, maybe the city should have had something going or some better plan. I don't know, but I was like, man, this crowd looks crazy for Canada. And then as the clip kept rolling, I was like, fireworks. It was just like flipping cars. And then I was like, dude, this is just they're getting to the semifinals, and this is what they're doing. I was like, fuck, I don't even know if I want to see them get to the end. But
I think it just means that a lot of people got to get in the building, and they need to just, you know, let those rowdy people like in the building instead of having 2,500 people out of like the
bars all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, man, the tradition continues. We saw, I see that clip of the guys in the Colorado fans in Vegas getting like,
oh getting yeah, razzed. Yeah,
that's... Jesus, man. Well, my point was, we see this everywhere since they brought fans back. There's kind of like a lot more fights, like a lot more. Like it's you see it all the time, and I've heard the commentators talk about it. How, like, you know, you see it all the time. The announcers will always be like, yeah, another fight in the stands. You know, this is more an ongoing thing. And it's kind of, it's weird. And, you know, I'm seeing it, we're seeing it in hockey arenas too. And it was a bummer. Pardon me.
I just got like one point again, like on that. Like, yeah, so what happened was, if anybody didn't see it, there was like two Colorado fans sitting probably third-ish, fourth row behind the goalie. Yep. And like as soon as the final horn goes, some Vegas fan like runs down from at least 12 rows behind them, and like obviously the Avs fans like not happy. The team just lost; they got eliminated, and the Vegas fan just comes down and just like steals their big Avs like
their flag
flag that they had, and just like takes it up with them.
Yeah, like, it was wrapped over the bar, and they were kind of leaning on the bar in front of them, and he just yoinks it out. And then he I don't know if he said anything or waved it at him. I think he just waved it once or twice and then turned around and just started walking up the stairs. And it was right after the last empty net goal, and they're just sitting there kind of like, you know, taking it. They're just taking it on the chin. I don't know what happened before or anything, but they were just sitting there like not doing nothing at the time. And
like,
they come down and blindside him, and then they run away, and the guy goes, tries to retrieve his flag, and then someone else, as he's chasing the guy, like some other one, like it bops him on the back of the head or pushes him or something, and then he turns around and, like, he's not gonna stand for it, and then they just mob on him, like they just all slowly start picking on the guy and beating him down. And I kind of just stopped watching. I kind of seen enough after a couple people stepped in. I got the picture, but
yeah
it was a bummer. Sorry.
If your response to your team like winning and moving on to the next round is to go make other fans like miserable, like on the other team, like what's like why? Like you're fucking trash.
You're there for the wrong reasons, like,
right?
You're not,
like
you're not
you should
there
be
to watch
your
the
team
game.
Just like celebrate with your team's fans, like. You should be like, if that's your number one like priority and like thought in your brain, like, yes, my team just advanced. Let's go shit on somebody's fucking day a little bit more. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Stop watching hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey's not for you.
And you know what? I bet you a lot of people in that arena, Vegas, every night aren't hockey fans. They're just there.
I was just going to say that. Welcome to Vegas.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Yeah, it was a bummer to see. I'm sure it happens everywhere, too, and I have heard that this is a trend. But, yeah, that sucked. I don't know. Especially, fuck, if you're a Canadian and you travel up there and your fucking heart and soul has been in this game for fucking 20 years or whatever, and then, you know, you're getting in fights like that, like, it might get ugly.
Get your priorities in check.
The French
Habs fans won't have any of that. Yeah.
No. They'll have the shanks in their socks pulling them out. Huh? They're on it. Just fucking start perplexing out the French curse words.
It, truly. That's crazy. So funny.
I hope the Habs give a run for their money. I took Vegas in five, but I'm cheering for the Habs.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those series. They're good. They're easy to get behind. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say quickly, I wanted to read off Price's numbers because they are otherworldly. But 8-3 in the playoffs, so 8 wins, 3 losses. He's got a 197 goals against and a 935 save percentage. Oh. That's insane, man. Like, those are, like, crazy numbers.
Against the two best offenses in Canada.
Yeah, exactly, right? So
what's that ridiculous stat that they haven't been behind in...
Oh, it's like 300 and some odd minutes they haven't been trailing.
Okay, thank you. I can't remember. Yeah, ridiculous, dude. Like, they said it like before their last game was over, like early in the game, and I was like, what the? Like, I didn't even know if I heard it right, but I've heard it again since. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, imagine the confidence you gotta have. Even if you're the underdog and you're going, like, whoever you're going against, that's gotta make you think. Like, you know, we got the backstop. We got the best. We got the X Factor. He's right back there, and he's fucking... He's saved. It feels like he's saved this year for this year. The way he's playing.
Okay, I'm a little off.
What?
They have not trailed for 437 minutes and 53 seconds, which is the second longest streak all time without trailing in a single playoff year. And it accounts to 7 hours, 17 minutes, and 53 seconds of ice time.
Wow. That's insane.
That's incredible. Like, that's, it's even, like, hard to, like, comprehend how long that is in hockey games terms.
Yeah, like, imagine the confidence in the room. Like, you got to be totally confident in the whole squad and absolutely your attendee. You can do it. And everyone's putting up numbers, too. Like, I think it's hard when the media always speculates on people, especially stars or top six guys that aren't doing what they need to do in the playoffs, et cetera, and, like... I think it, you know, must get harder. I don't know. Maybe a lot of guys can tune it out. Maybe you can't. I doubt you can in Canada. But the whole team's doing it. Like, anyone who came up, the young guys that came up are doing what they needed to do. Like, everyone's doing what they needed to do. And it all leads from Price, but Toffoli's, like, been keeping it up. Corey Perry's done, like, a ton. Everybody. Like, everyone's showing up, so... I don't know, like this group. This group's pretty confident, and if they get through this, like I'll take them so serious. If they get through this, I'll take them very, very serious in the finals. But right now, it's just Price. It's Price's fucking series right now. It's his to win, lose, whatever
happens.
Yeah. guys, I just wanted to say quickly. Shout out to Blake Coleman. He just, I guess his wife. Just gave birth to his second kid. So that's going to juice him up for the second round. Hopefully.
Boy or girl?
I don't know. I'm just looking because I totally forgot to look. All right.
We'll wait till they win the cup. And
this is the news we need, Taylor. It's got to be on point.
My bad. No. Blake Coleman, not Braden Point.
Ah. Oh.
A baby boy. His name's Carson. No, baby girl. Her name is Carson. I bet. Sorry. She
assumed. Just fuck. Sewer the kid instantly.
Okay. Okay. Cut that out. Baby girl. Her name is Carson. There you go.
Beautiful.
Well,
what a nice
sure.
name.
That's definitely get edited out.
Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
Anyways, that'll get the boys going. Get them back for game two.
Yeah.
No, definitely, definitely. The baby bump always gets the boys going.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's done with the playoffs. I think we got a couple non-playoff news related subjects, but I think we're good for playoffs.
Yep, I'm good.
Beauty. So hot off the press, basically, New York Rangers hired their new coach, Gerard Gallant.
Yeah.
Fresh off of coaching Team Canada to the World Championships gold medal recently in Vegas. But yeah, he looks to be the new team to fire up the old Rangers to hopefully get them back pushing for a playoff spot this year.
Yeah, it's super interesting. Could go from a guy like David Quinn to Gerard Gallant.
Mm-hmm.
Completely opposite, I think. One's like a player's coach, and I think Gallant will do really well for the development of the younger guys they have there. Kind of just, from what I've heard anyways, just throws guys into the fire and lets them kind of do their shit. So it'll be good. It'll be really good for that. And then also, yeah, I heard that they had like tried to make a deal with him and he declined or something like that. So obviously they offered him a bit more money for him to sign. So,
beauty. Yeah, I think like the one thing or two things that is really going to benefit the Rangers, especially if Gallant kind of keeps to his old ways, is it's going to ease a lot of pressure off these young guys because he is very notorious, especially in their first year at Vegas. Somebody goes out to make a mistake. They're not sitting on the bench, right? They're just right back out there. It's, you know what? We're a team. You made one mistake. You're good. Just learn from it. You'll be back right out there. You're not going to get, you know, benched for a period and a half because you gave a pizza up the middle or whatever. I think it's just going to be a relaxing way to play, for especially for the new guys coming into the league. They're not going to be gripping their sticks a little harder. I think he's a great hire for this team.
Yeah, agreed.
Hell yeah. I got nothing on it. Coaches are not my forte.
Yeah, that's
sadly.
Fine.
I'm always like, where is he from? Where, yeah, right? You guys always nail it. That one in drafts, I'm like, I'll take one step back. And chime in. That's it. What else do we have, though?
I got one more piece of hockey news. It looks like the Carolina Hurricanes are allowing Dougie Hamilton to go out and talk to other teams right now. So they're saying it's a potential like trade and sign thing, which we don't really see. We hear a lot about every offseason, but we don't really see them too often. I think he stays in Carolina, but just a little tidbit that he is allowed to talk to other teams, so he's probably talking to other teams right now and kind of seeing where his value's at.
Also, I don't know if we ever mentioned this, but just another side note, Connor McDavid to the media just, I don't know, said that he wants to be there, said that he wants to stay there. Had a little blurb. I can't remember what it was, but had a little blurb like half a week ago saying that he wanted to stay there and he wanted to win there. So I was like, oh, you know, at least he's still saying that. I thought I should at least mention that right after the pod. He kind of said, you know, I am still here to win. And this is my focus. It's not like there's any hesitation, or at least he's not showing the doubt. So that is good, or at least a sign.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Or at least not showing it. He could be fucking crumbling on the inside.
That just reminds me of another piece of news from earlier this week. I think it was Elliot Friedman reporting on it that it looks like Jack Eichel trade before the draft is a very high possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. They were saying that for sure. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes.
It'd be interesting to see if he gets traded before the expansion draft, because then, you know, that team that acquires him or the Buffalo's got to protect all these guys because most likely they're getting multiple pieces for him.
Right.
So then it'd be interesting to see if they have something like in the works, and then as soon as the expansion draft like gets locked in, they trade him like then.
Can you, like, if you lock in the protected list, can you then trade somebody, or is
no? I mean, like, locking in everybody, then Seattle like records their picks. and then he gets traded, basically.
And then he gets traded, yeah.
Like, probably...
Yeah, that would make the most sense.
The morning of the 22nd kind of thing, the day after the Seattle team pick.
When is the entry draft? The day after the expansion?
No, it's the Friday. I think the 21st is a Wednesday or a Tuesday.
Okay.
And then the draft is the Friday. Yeah, so the Wednesday, the 21st is the expansion, and then 23rd and 24th is the entry draft.
That's sweet that they're so close together. Mm-hmm. Wham, bam.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I could see it happening. I don't think I could see it happening before the expansion draft.
No, that'd be hard, especially.
Be a lot of moving parts there.
I guess, in one sense, it's not actually a bad thing because Buffalo has nobody to protect, right? So they got a lot of open spots. If they need to protect a bunch of guys they just acquired in a trade, they have no problem with doing that.
Yeah.
And the team acquiring Eichel has just most likely freed up at least a couple spots so they can protect Eichel no problem.
True.
So I think in that sense, it's not the biggest hiccup, but it'd be interesting to see if and when he goes.
Think there's any shot he goes to Seattle?
No. I don't see what Seattle could offer enough to give to Buffalo. I guess they could do the number two pick.
With like a bunch of picks involved?
I don't know.
They'd have players, wouldn't they? Like they get players.
Yeah, it depends on what they get in the draft for sure. Yeah. But like could you imagine Seattle going, okay, this year's first, next year's first, and like a good player that we were able to take in the draft. And we don't have to pick this person and you give a cycle. I mean, I don't know.
I think you get more value out of anywhere else.
Yeah, fair. Dark horse.
It is gonna be interesting. That would be crazy. Something crazy is, you know, whenever a player like this moves, like, it's kind of crazy, but there's levels to it. Sometimes it's fucking nuts, and there's a lot of players this year that are kind of on the move or could be moving, like, tons, and it's going to be a total shakeup this year. Eichel just being the slobber knocker, if you will. But, yeah, like, I don't know, Johnny Ham and Cheese out there as well. Goudreau could move. I don't know, man. It's going to be a crazy offseason.
It could be a crazy offseason, yeah.
Yeah.
Truly will be.
Last piece of non-playoff, non-hockey news. I just wanted to send a shout-out to Christian Eriksen, the Danish soccer player who collapsed and had cardiac arrest on the pitch during their first Euro 2020 game. I just want to send best wishes because the video and the story of it all, he was basically pronounced dead on the field and they shocked him back to life. Crazy story. Just sending the best wishes to him and the Danish team and everybody involved in that situation.
Yeah, agreed. Scary stuff.
Scary stuff, dude. All right, is that will wrap her up for episode 26?
Oh, hell no. I got one more. Hold the phone here, everybody. Okay. So I was watching, or no, I was just flipping through Instagram. Okay, slow down, Ty. I was flipping through Instagram.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week. No?
I saw this thing, and it was the French president. Here, I'll send it to you right now in the Hoser's chat, because it killed me.
Macron, is that his name? Something like that?
Yeah. You see it? Have you seen it yet?
No.
Oh my gosh, yeah. If you haven't, I guess I'll still send it. But oh my god, okay, so he's like president or prime minister of like France or something, I think.
Prime minister, I believe.
Yeah, there we go. And yeah, he's running over to like, you know, see the crowd it looks like and like greet some people or whatever, and he runs right up to some guy. I don't think he knows him. I think he's just some bystander, like, you know, there to see everybody. He's just in the crowd like on the fence. And he's running up with just like four or five security guards in like the secret agent black suits and sunglasses and shit. And they all go up beside him and he gets up there and he goes up to this guy and he goes up all slow, like almost to greet the guy or like, was he gonna shake his hand? And the guy just like the guy just slaps him. Like, and then the guy gets fucking tanked. Like, just taken out. And I'm like, man, swing at that guy. Why the fuck would you slap him? I don't know, man. Like, give him a real fist or something. Like, oh no, it just seems so French. The more I watched it, I was like, this is actually hilarious.
Yeah, so I guess they have a president and a prime minister, so he is the president. But they do, also have a prime minister. Oh. Fucking French, man.
Oh, it was so weird. I couldn't. That's hilarious. The guy gets flattened. I was like, oh my God, is he okay? And I guess two guys got arrested for it. But oh, the slap is so funny, too. So it was just such a serious, funny, silly thing.
The security detail just fucking lunge over that little makeup fence.
And they're like, they're so surprised. It almost takes us like an extra half second for everyone to react. But then it's like a crazy quick reaction and the guy just gets flattened. But and then I'm pretty sure even the guy, like the way he grabbed his face, the president, the way he holds it, like, ah, like, yeah, what's I didn't expect that either. Holy shit.
Should have taken a soccer dive.
That would have been rolling so down the good. Hill. That would have been so good. But yeah, I thought that was so weird. And I was like, I'm saving that for the pod.
That's great. That was great.
Yeah, that's an ender. I'm so proud of myself for remembering it. Oh. Anyway, that's all I had, folks.
Make sure that's to sure to go check out the giveaway on our Instagram page at Hoser's Panel again.
Yeah.
That'll probably be running probably until next podcast gets released. We'll probably do it for a week or so. So
when are we slapping it up tonight? Tomorrow?
It'll be up tonight. So it'll be by the time you listen to this podcast, it'll be up.
Oh.
I think, weren't we talking about getting like an extra little prize for if you can predict the cup winner or something like that?
Yeah. We'll put everything on the Instagram page there.
Beauty. Sounds good. It'll definitely be up until at least the end of the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
Beauty.
Right on. Well, let's have a hell of a week, everybody. Thanks again for listening. Can't wait to see you for next time. Let's get together for one of these games here. Hey.
Yeah.
Moral support, buddy. Gonna be right there on the couch.
I need a couple of beers.
Yeah. All right.
Couple.
Just a couple.
Depends
beers.
On who wins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Couple if the Bolts win, couple dozen cases if the Islanders win.
Yeah. That's you guys. Your team wins. You stay in the pocket, two or three, maybe four. They lose. Yeah. You know the
floodgates.
Then there's tie. Then there's the Flames fan. They're fucking all year long. You know, all year long. just nightly, whatever team wins or loses. You got a couple in the bag, you know you do. So, yeah. God.
Yeah.
Need a couple wins. Maybe it'd be okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Alrighty,
pray
fellas.
For me. We'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good. Thanks
for
listening.
Go Bolts.
See you, fellas.